Well, after a song service like that, you'd almost feel the pressure to preach on heaven. No, but I appreciate those songs so much and the encouragement that they give. If you want to turn with me tonight, we're going to start in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I was with dinner, at dinner with some friends last night, and we began discussing some of the, I guess, not so much current events so much anymore, but just in recent years, the number of scandals and allegations that have come out regarding men who are in high positions, men of power, particularly in Hollywood, and just many of the vile things that have been coming out. And I remember at a time I was just struck by reading about Joseph, who was betrothed to Mary. And there is this is a time that the time for righteous men is now. The time for righteous and godly men to stand up and to be set apart from the men of the rest of the world. The time is now to be that example to young people, to our children, to the world. The time is now for righteous men of God to stand up. And Joseph is quoted as being a righteous man. So tonight I want us to look at the life of Joseph and to note some things which are prevalent. They might be not necessarily explicitly stated in the text, but as we'll kind of look at some of these verses, we'll be able to sort of get a picture of who Joseph was and how we can reflect on his example. Firstly tonight, Joseph deeply cared about God. Joseph was a man that was deeply convicted. He deeply wished to follow God, and we see that numerous times. In Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 39, he underwent all that needed to be fulfilled that was required of the law of Moses. Again, Luke chapter 3, verse 39, when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city of Nazareth, particularly there where they were taking Jesus to be presented to the Lord. And so what is it that was required of the law? Well, if we skip back another page, a few verses there, starting in verse 21, the 8 days had passed before his circumcision. His name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Again, culminating in verse 39, that they did all that was required of them when presenting Jesus in the temple. It was required that he be circumcised on the 8th day, according to Leviticus 12 and verse 3. It was required that they present him to the Lord, according to Leviticus 12, verses 6 through 8. And finally, that they offer sacrifice. In this case, they offered two turtle doves or pigeons because they were not wealthy enough to provide a lamb for that offering, to provide a lamb for that sacrifice. Leviticus chapter 5 and verse 11. I know Roy is kind of a typology kind of person. Roy, what do you think about this? A lamb was to be offered, but yet they were too poor, so they had to offer the two turtle doves or pigeons. But yet the Lamb of God was there. He went on to every Passover feast. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 2, verses 40 through verse 41, they were faithful in attending to Jerusalem every year, the feast of the Passover. He was dedicated to the Lord and deeply cared about the Lord. Again, not only following all that was prescribed for presenting Jesus in the temple, but they dedicated themselves to going to the Passover feast year after year after year. It was also commanded in Exodus 12:15 that they would eat unleavened bread for that time. So then we continue on in verses 42 to 43. When it became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning, after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents were unaware of it. Again, they had to stay for about a week or so, 7 days, eating of the unleavened bread, observing the Passover feast, and they were dedicated not only to going to the feast, but staying the required number of days to observe it as well. Lastly, we see his dedication and his obedience to the angel of the Lord. Sometimes as we're reading through, we almost sort of take it for granted that the Lord was appearing to him in dreams, commanding him to go, whether it be to go into Egypt, to come out of Egypt, to take Mary as his wife. Again, he was following the instructions of the Lord, not only under the Old Testament, but the angel of the Lord that continually was appearing to him. We see this in Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 15, that again, the angel of the Lord commanded him to go into Egypt to escape the massacre that Herod was bringing about. He's called out of Egypt, Luke chapter 2, verses 19 to 21, to come back, that it was safe enough there. But there was also a warning, and so they eventually ended up staying in Nazareth, Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 23. Again, through all of this, we see that Joseph deeply cared about God. He was willing to submit to all of the requirements under the old law, and he was willing to submit to the angel of the Lord that was appearing to him time after time in the dream and was commanding him various ways. Next, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, we see, really from one crucial example, the love that Joseph had for Mary, that Joseph had for his wife. Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, he says, "And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly." Mary was found to be pregnant before their wedding, we find out in verse 18. Once this information is made known to Joseph, he had a number of options, really, that he could have gone with. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 20 to 21, if a woman had been found to not be a virgin, she could have been stoned to death. And yet Joseph loved and cared for Mary so much, he didn't want her to befall that fate. And so he had determined that he was going to put her away secretly, spare her that the shame and disgrace, spare her life, essentially. Betrothals at this point, they were not desired to go on to be prolonged, but for a number of times, it would still be considered a long sort of engagement period for us today. It would still, a betrothal could take up to 1 to 2 years. And so even when Joseph finds out about this, at what point in their betrothal he found out about it, he was still showing his love and his compassion. Again, he didn't want her to suffer that horrific fate. It begs me to ask the question, there must have been something about Mary. There must have been something about her character that this righteous man was choosing Mary as his wife. Not only was Joseph choosing her as his wife, but also God chose Mary to bear Jesus. There was something about her that she was chosen. God was giving the Savior of the world into her hands to nurture and to raise. Why did Joseph choose Mary? He was a righteous man looking for a righteous woman. A powerful, godly couple being able to work together in raising the Messiah. We see Joseph cared deeply for Mary. Thirdly, we see that Joseph deeply cared for Jesus. So we go back to Luke chapter 2. It is at this time that Mary is reaching the end of her pregnancy. She is about to give birth. And even when there are no ends are available to them, Luke chapter 2 and verse 7, we see that no availability at the ends was going to stop Joseph. Rather, whenever she did give birth, Luke chapter 2, verse 7. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inns. It wasn't acceptable to Joseph for them to just be off on the side of the road, perhaps. But rather, they found shelter somewhere. They were able to, he was able to do the best with the means that he could. Again, that there was no room at the inn, so what would be the next best place? Perhaps they found a shed or a farmer, a barn nearby, that they were able to wrap him in clothes and put the newborn Jesus into a manger. We also see his care for Jesus in the search in Jerusalem. Luke chapter 2, verses 40 to 52. We look there. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning, after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the caravan, and went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among the relatives and acquaintances. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." Of course, we see Jesus' response, "I had to be in my father's house." But both Mary and Joseph were anxious, trying to look for their son. Could you imagine what it would have been like to have lost the Messiah of the world? Those 3 days that they searched anxiously for the Messiah, they had lost Jesus, and where was he? He was in the temple. I think about some of the anxious things that I put my mom through when I was younger. I remember I was always frustrated because anytime we would go to Walmart together, if I had to leave and go to the restroom, I always wanted my mom, "Stay right here where you're at." We were in like the clothing department or wherever. I was like, "Stay exactly here so whenever I come back, you'll be here." 9 times out of 10, she was long gone looking at something else. And so one time I got fed up with it. And so I went to the restroom, I came back, she was gone. So then I began to walk around the mall, or around Walmart. And so I finally found a nice, cozy little bench, and I sat down, and I said, "Well, whenever my mom comes by, you know, she'll find me when she finds me." Sure enough, and I don't remember this, but she says that they called for me on the intercom. But I knew I was going to be rooted. I was going to sit there until my mom came and found me. I was going to sit there on that bench. And so finally, they had called me several times, but I wasn't having any of it. I don't remember. But she came and she found me with like a whole army of like 4 or 5 Walmart employees. She was just so overjoyed. She gave me such a bear hug. And what happened after that, the beating that I probably took, has probably just been blacked out of my mind. I can't recall it at all. But there were several times which instances like that would happen. So I feel for Mary and Joseph whenever they're anxiously looking for their son. Like, yeah, I've been there. That was me. But they care for him so much. They were desperately seeking. They were looking for him. Joseph and Mary, they loved Jesus. They deeply cared about him. Finally, we'll look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, Jesus was known as the carpenter's son. He goes back and he begins preaching, and the people, they knew who Joseph, they knew who Mary, they knew Jesus and his family, they knew who they were. Matthew 13, 53 to 58. It says, "When Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there. He came to his hometown, began teaching them in their synagogues, so that they were astonished and said, 'Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, and Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all of these things?'" He was known as the carpenter's son. Joseph cared for Jesus, but Joseph also cared for his other children. Again, his brothers there, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. He was a carpenter's son. And part of Jesus' upbringing, part of the upbringing of his family would have been learning a trade. And so Joseph made sure that his sons were able to take care of his mother and his family long after he would have been gone. Joseph cared about God. Joseph cared about Mary. And Joseph cared deeply about Jesus. Tonight I want to ask us the question. It seems to be that, obviously, Joseph was a man, and this would be a Father's Day sermon. It's a sermon pointed at men, but there is so much more than that. Joseph and Mary, what a wonderful, godly couple to model our marriages and our relationships after. Consider Jesus. Did Jesus care about God? Absolutely he did. When he was in the garden, he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." Jesus was so dedicated to the Father that he was willing to go to the cross for us. He deeply cared about God. Did Jesus care about Mary? Absolutely he did. When he was on the cross, he entrusted his mother to John, the beloved disciple. He was entrusting her to someone he knew was going to be able to take care of her after he was gone. Did Jesus care about children? Absolutely he did. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 14, when the children were coming to him, he says, "Do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom belongs to such as these." Jesus cared about children. As men, as women, as children tonight, we have to care about God. We have to put him first and foremost in our life. We have to care about our mothers and our spouses. We have to be the righteous people that God has called us to be. Perhaps you're a man like Joseph. You're a righteous man, but perhaps you don't have a wife like Mary. Keep being righteous Joseph. Perhaps you're a righteous Mary, and despite your best efforts, your husband is not righteous Joseph. Keep being righteous Mary. Consider these things. Consider the life of Joseph, the example that he has brought to us. For us younger people, when looking for a spouse, looking for a woman that was righteous like Mary. Women who are seeking a spouse, looking for men who are righteous like Joseph. Again, being righteous, following God first and foremost in your life, and bringing along your family with you. Again, the world today, there are so many poor examples that we can choose from and that so many choose to model their life after. But who better than to model a righteous life after godly people? And again, if you don't have that example in your life, look around the room tonight. Because I guarantee you there are more than enough godly men and godly women here tonight. At this time, we offer the Lord's invitation. Perhaps you need to put on Christ in baptism, or perhaps you need the prayers of the church, whatever the case may be. Won't you come forward at this time as we sing?